Yeah, what's the problem with it?
Cooper said, as him and Wesley both rushed over to the work table.
Not so much a problem as it is a riddle,
the watchmaker said as he pulled a book off his shelf.
There are different types of watches that use various sorts of energy to power their movements,
he explained as he thumbed through the pages.
This watch was designed by a wonderful lady named Corinna of Drenden, someone your father was quite fond of,
the watchmaker said, looking at Beach Guy.
During the Second Pirate War, she was using a rare magical crystal from a nearby lagoon to develop a watch movement that could teleport fallen soldiers off the battlefield to safety.
Like a portal?
Wesley asked.
Yes, precisely,
the watchmaker replied.
Silverbeard and Johnny Blackstrap heard about these watches from their spies. If the rumors were true, these watches could sway the war in favor of whoever possessed them. So they demanded her shop in Drenden be raided. Under the veil of night, a small army of Terriks descended onto the shop and destroyed everything, setting the shop ablaze. Their aim was to kidnap Corinna and make her build these watches for their armies, hoping they could use the portals to teleport to the allied towns and take them over swiftly. The night of the raid, however, Corinna was with your father,
he said, looking at Beach Guy again.
They were watching the stars on your dad's ship in Ballister's Bay. They both saw the fire from the boat. Your dad, against Corinna's protests, decided to sail to Summer City.
Please, I must stay.
Knowing what danger she was in.
We can't stay. It isn't safe.
She went into hiding, and your dad, the great Captain Hoss, went back to fight and eventually led us to victory. Before he left to return to the battlefield, she gave him the only watch she had ever gotten to successfully work, but the magic and movement was still unstable. She warned him only to use it if it meant life or death. This watch you have, boys, had been rumored to exist, but since your dad and Corinna had both gone missing, no one knew if it was real or just a myth. I had seen it before in my younger years, but never spoke of it, and thought I'd never see it again,
the watchmaker said, his eyes beginning to well up. The boys were awestruck by the story the watchmaker was telling them. Could this watch hold the secret to where James and Beach Guy's father was, as well as teleport them back to their house?
But how do we fix it? You said you knew what the problem was,
Cooper asked.
Oh, yes, of course,
the watchmaker said as he shook his head, still lost in thought. He pointed to the page of the book he had stopped on while he had been telling the story. It was a picture of a small red and white crystal that had a translucent shimmer to it.
The secret to making this work again,
the watchmaker said, holding the watch up.
The red spot crystal. It's rare, but can be found in certain spots that contain red sand, one of them being the lagoon near Corinna's old shop in Drenden. All you need is a tiny bit of crystal and sunlight to power up the watch movement and get it working again. There is a great mystery and great deal of danger here, boys, and you must not trust anyone with this information I've shared. This watch in the wrong hands could have dire consequences. I suspect the Captain Crassel fellow that had seen you land on the beach with the watch works as a spy for Silverbeard and has already reported back to him by now. Time is of great importance.
The boys walked with Benito back into the house. Everyone was quiet, trying to digest the story they were just told. We might be in bigger trouble than we imagined, Wesley thought. Benito left for the market, while the boys took turns using an indoor hand pump shower to clean themselves off. The cool water was more than refreshing. There were leaves in the shower that smelled like a mix of mint and citrus. Beach Guy explained they were used to scrub the skin and were beneficial in keeping the skin healthy and free of infections. Cooper got dressed and walked to the kitchen, where Beach Guy was filling in a half-awake James on what they had learned about the watch. James was drinking a glass of the delicious chiffon drink Cooper had tried earlier. Cooper's body craved another glass already.
Wow, this watch is a bigger deal than I thought. We gotta get to the lagoon as soon as we can and find that crystal,
James said.
Want to leave tonight?
Cooper asked.
Yeah, let's have dinner with Benito and walk back to the ship before it gets too dark.
Get there. I'm starving.
Me too.
A voice said from down the hallway. Wesley was just getting dried off from the shower.
That's a big surprise,
James said sarcastically.
Someone get the door.
Benito shouted as he came in lugging a big satchel. Cooper shut the door behind him and watched as the watchmaker unpacked a large silver and blue fish, a couple jars of fruits, and a bag of a strange amber grain. He also handed Cooper and Wesley a couple hooded cloaks he had bought for them while at the market.
You'll be needing these to not draw any more attention to yourselves,
the watchmaker said. James and Benito began to cook together while discussing the story of the watch from earlier. Wesley was describing video games in more detail and how to play them to Beach Guy. Cooper poured himself a glass of Chiffont and began walking around the house. Down the hallway past where the shower was, he came to a dark room with no windows. The door was open to crack. Cooper walked in. Dim lights flickered on almost by magic as he entered. In front of him stood a wall of swords and daggers, longbows and crossbows, armor and shields. Cooper took a long saber off the wall and began to flick it around like he had seen in movies. My mom would kill me right now if she saw I had this, Cooper thought.
You're gonna slice an ear off.
Cooper almost dropped the sword as he spun around. James was standing in the doorway.
Your movements are too broad, easy to read,
he said, critiquing his sword skills.
I've never actually used one of these.
Hopefully you'll never have to. Let's go now. It's dinner time and then we gotta set sail.
Cooper set the saber down and grabbed his glass of Chiffont and started walking towards the kitchen. After dinner was over, Benito packed them some leftovers for their trip. The amber grain was Cooper's favorite. It was light, buttery, and a little sweet. Caroon, it was called. The boys wore their new cloaks for the first time. They were made out of a dark, strong leather. The hoods hung down low over their faces. Perfect for blending in, Wesley thought, feeling a bit relieved.
One more thing,
the watchmaker said, as he walked down the hallway to the weapons room Cooper had found earlier. He came back with two crossbows and a saber with a belt and sheath.
I was only a lad when I learned to use these. You'll have plenty of time to practice on the boat. And two of the best teachers,
the watchmaker said, glancing at James and Beach Guy as he handed Wesley and Cooper the crossbows.
We'll train them well, Benito,
Beach Guy said, giving the watchmaker a salute.
And Cooper, take this saber. Study how to use it. Practice daily. Something is telling me you're going to learn faster than most do,
he said with a wink. Cooper and Wesley both thanked him. Beach Guy and James gave him a big hug and picked up their satchels as they opened the door. The sun was just starting to go down, and the air was cool and crisp now. The boys began walking down the walkway past the garden to the road. Cooper and Wesley both thought they would miss Benito. He was a warm, comforting figure in a scary, uncertain time. Leaving the safety of the little house and going back to the unknown took courage. No turning back now, to an unknown lagoon in search of a rare crystal. They made their way back to the main street and down the hill through town center. James noticed a couple scallops following them.
Don't look back now. But we're being followed,
James said quietly.
Just walk in front of me. When I say go, run to the ship and set sail. I'll hold them off and jump on last minute.
We can help fight now that we have these,
Wesley said, as he looked down at the dangling crossbow attached to his belt.
No, you don't even know how to use those yet. You do as I say,
James said. The boys nodded. They reached the sign near the dock that said, Welcome to Stoneville, when a voice called out behind them.
Stop right there.
The boys turned around as three scallops approached them.
You guys could be more subtle.
You didn't know we were behind you,
the leader scallop said, sounding insulted.
I've known since we got on the main street. Apparently, covert isn't your specialty. Go, now.
The boys ran for the ship and jumped on. Cooper began pulling the anchors. Beach Guy filled the golden fuel stuff into the cylinder, while Wesley climbed the masts and untied the sails. The sound of James fighting the scallops intensified as they got closer to the boat. The sails again, like magic, began to fill with wind, and the ship groaned to a start. James began to run as two of the three scallops chased after him.
James, hurry!
The boat was picking up speed now. James ran and jumped off the dock just in time to catch the side of the boat. The two remaining Scalids were left behind, defeated as the ship sailed away. Cooper and Wesley pulled James up the side of the boat while Beach Guy navigated in the helm.
That was insane,
Cooper said excitedly.
Are you okay?
James rolled up his sleeve on his shirt to a bite mark on his upper arm.
Maybe not,
James said, sweat dripping down his forehead.
I think I'm gonna need antivenom.